This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We're back with more Rami Makhlouf and Hub Arkish on 670 The Score.
On a Plumbers 911 Football Monday on a Friday, presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and Busey Bank. I am Rami, that is Hub, and we are with you after the Bears found yet another way to lose. Hopefully didn't ruin your Thanksgiving. 23-20, the final yesterday, as Matt Eberflus and everyone else, along with us, just watched that clock tick away. And the win just slipped through their fingers, or at least in overtime slips through their fingers. Clay Harbor is going to join us coming up at 7:20. But we want to hear from you guys at 312-644-6767. You can call or text that number. This text from the 773 Hub: has anyone asked Flus if he knew they had a timeout? He has to go as soon as the plane lands. Maybe should not even let him on the plane. That's Pat texting The Score. As far as we know, he did get on the plane, and as far as we know, he is still the head coach, although we still don't know if or when he'll be made available to the media later today, which is out of the ordinary. But Hub, he is still employed, and I assume he knew they had a timeout. He had to have known they had a timeout.
Yeah, I can assure you he knew that. He said it a couple of different ways. he knew they had a timeout. Why he didn't use it, we didn't get any explanation for. But yes, he knew they had it.
Let's go out to the phones and out to Northbrook. And Jim, you're on The Score. What's up?
Good morning, guys. The blame to go around on both sides. This is going to sound more like I'm blaming Williams. A bad head coach isn't ready on second down to predict that with 30 to 35 seconds left, I've got to get at least two plays. So that's obviously on Eberflus. Go back and watch the play, though. The kid froze. And while he may be able to spin it, he may be able to move well in the pocket, he may be above average to great intelligence from the quarterback position, all of that stuff. He may go to the NFC Championship next year or the year after. That last play, the term field general and what I witnessed are not, synonymous. Everything, falls with the head coach and the coaching staff. He got the play probably with 26 to 27 seconds to go, and he snapped the ball with 7 or 8 seconds to go. And that's on Williams. That's on the player. So have a great day, guys.
Appreciate the call. And I'm not making any excuse for Caleb Williams. And just like the week previous, Hub, when he takes the sack in overtime. That was the week previous, right? I have all these heartbreaking losses now getting jumbled up in my memory. Him taking the sack in overtime, inexcusable. And really, there was nothing that Matt Eberflus or anybody else could have done to sort of to stop that or to offset that. When he takes that sack, it, for all intents and purposes, kills that drive. And you can't blame Eberflus for what ensued after that. That's just football. But when you have a situation like you have yesterday, and he's having what I have called and will keep calling rookie moments, we should expect that. But you need an adult on the sidelines who stops everything and says, whoa, 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 everybody stop what we're doing. We have a timeout. I know we had a plan, but we have to change the plan because of the way that this is going down. Like, it was obvious to everybody after, I don't know, 10, 12 seconds ran off, Hub, that this thing was not running the way that they had planned on it running, and Matt Eberflus just didn't have a plan B. He just didn't have a plan B.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you know, Caleb didn't have his best 32 seconds. There's no question about that. But I think I just said 10 minutes ago, the Bears have their franchise quarterback. I'm really pleased with what I've seen of Caleb Williams through 12 weeks. And what I've seen the last 3 weeks in particular in the second half is even more exciting. That said, you know, to try and blame him for this, you can't. He's still a rookie quarterback. We're sitting there watching the game with two of my sons, and at 32 seconds, I'm thinking, okay, I know what's happening here. This looks pretty good. At 25 seconds, I'm screaming, stop the effing clock.
Yes.
you know, that's on Flus. You know, there's things you can blame Matt for. There's things you can blame Caleb for. But that those last 32 seconds, that is definitely on Matt. I think Caleb probably made a couple of mistakes, probably didn't understand some things, probably got confused. But that's all going to happen with your rookie quarterback. That's why it's so important the head coach knows he's got to stop the clock. And they didn't get anything out of that. But one more in 32 seconds, they got one bad play that had broken down because they had wasted so much time making the throw.
Mm-hmm. Well, you don't even let Caleb change the play. He says he changed the play at the line of scrimmage. You don't even do that if you're the head coach. You go, that's going to take too long. Nope, timeout. You know what? Somebody has to step in and say that.
It's not somebody. It's
the
Matt.
Head coach. Yeah, it's the head coach.
We established
yes.
that. Yeah.
Here's a text from the 312. How blatant has it gotten? It's obvious the players have lost faith in this guy. He can't stay there, man. And you've said, I've heard you say this in previous hosting stints with you, and you've said it already this morning, that Matt Eberflus has not lost the locker room.
Well, and I would ask our texter, how is it obvious Matt has lost faith in these guys? I mean, what are you saying? Just because you believe, because they're playing so badly, that doesn't mean they've lost faith in the coach. That just means that it's not working.
But is it possible that while they like Matt Eberflus, they're hoping he figures it out and want it to work out with Matt Eberflus, that when it comes to situations like that one, they don't have a lot of faith in what their head coach is going to do, that he's going to make the right decision or do anything at all or just stand there and watch 30 seconds run off the clock? I think there's a difference between losing a locker room and guys going, I'm out on this guy, man. I don't even want to try or work hard for this guy anymore. And guys not having faith in their head coach. And we heard Keenan Allen before. We've heard DJ Moore allude to it, that they either don't believe their coach will or don't believe their coach did do the right things in those situations. Those are two different things, right, Hub? Of losing a locker room and not having faith in a coach in those situations?
Well, I think what losing the locker room means is you don't have faith in your coach. So they're actually, that's the one thing. But as far as who you want to blame for it and whose fault it is and whether the players won't play for him anymore, the players are clearly playing
they're
for
playing
him
hard.
In the second half of games.
They're playing
I mean,
hard
to
for
make
him.
The comebacks they've made, he has not lost his locker room yet. That I think is clear. And so when somebody texts or calls and says it's obvious he's lost, no, it's not. You know, but again, that why does that matter? I mean, what matters is how do you fix this?
Right.
And what they've done is make it worse the last 3 weeks instead of fixing it.
Let's go to Oak Lawn and John, you're on 670 The Score. What's up, buddy?
Hey, so it's clear that the past few weeks that the Bears are struggling in the last 2 minutes of the game. They need to create a brand new coaching position called a two-minute coach whose sole responsibility is the last 2 minutes of management, so we don't have this problem ever going forward again. And Eberflus, I don't see him going anywhere because the Bears aren't making the playoffs. Why would they fire a coach to bring someone in that to not make the playoffs? All right, guys, I'll listen to you comment.
The first answer to the last part of your question is because the announced crowd at Soldier Field last week was 2 million less, not 2 million, 2,000 less, 2,000 less than the seats. It's the first, and I've been doing this again all these years. I can't remember when it wasn't, you know, 61,000, whatever the number is. And I'm sitting there last week and thinking, there's 2,000 unsold seats. Is that possible? I don't think so. I don't know if that just means people who showed up or bought the seats, but that's why they have to make a change. But you have to make the right change. Don't make the wrong change again.
Here's a change that hasn't been suggested this morning. Hub from the 312, Poles needs to be fired. His track record is pathetic. He got lucky with the trade. Not much else has worked. Eberflus, Claypool, Ogunjobi, Davis, Edmonds, Sweat, building off of the offensive line, building of the defensive line. I could keep going. It does seem like while it was sacrilege to question the grand plan by Ryan Poles, well, as recently as the preseason, some people are starting to raise an eyebrow at him and the way that this thing is going. And I think that that's fair. Hub, we're going to be 3 years through a rebuild with really no competitive football play.
And my answer to that texter is that you don't have a clue what you're talking about, so I don't think I'm going to bother saying anything else. You know, I mean, at four and two, everybody thought the rebuild is working. We're going to the playoffs. Everything's great. It's the last 6 weeks. Ryan Poles has done, I thought he had done a very good job until a few weeks ago. Now I just think he's done a pretty good job. Yes, he's made some mistakes. There's no question about that. Everybody makes mistakes. But you look at the total body of work and where they were at 4-2, and I thought that he had done almost everything right. Not Claypool, obviously, not a few other things. You're going to make some mistakes. But the bottom line is that there was nobody issuing concerns about Poles until 3 or 4 weeks ago. So all of a sudden you want to fire him too? No, that's just stupid.
I know every GM makes mistakes. Yeah. Every GM makes trades that they miss on, draft picks that they miss on, free agent signings that they miss on. But you could do everything right if you're an NFL GM, and mistakes at two positions can tank an entire plan, and that's head coach and quarterback. And I think you'll get a chance to make usually two mistakes at those two positions. You can hire the wrong head coach twice before you get fired, and I think you can draft or sign the wrong quarterback twice before you get fired. That's been the pattern around the NFL. He's going to get another head coach, and if he doesn't get that right and this thing still doesn't work, that'll probably be the end of Ryan Poles, and we'll be talking about a new GM, a new head coach, maybe a new quarterback, and another rebuild in a couple of years.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that Ryan Poles is going to win a Super Bowl for the Bears. I'm not even saying that he's not going to lose his job and may not deserve to be fired at some point. But to say that he hasn't done a good job in the last 2.5 years in this rebuild, that's just ignoring reality.
I think he's done some things well and others not well. I expected for there to be meaningful football in December by year three of a rebuild.
And at 4-2, you probably thought there was.
I thought there
was,
yes.
Yeah. So I don't think you can blame that on the general manager.
But we're entering December and we're not getting meaningful football.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the bottom line. Let's go to Steve, who's in Detroit. Steve, you're on 670 The Score. What's up, buddy?
Morning, guys. I do believe it's a matter of when, not if, at this point. I think a lot of the issues points toward Eberflus' lack of accountability and self-awareness for the last 3 years. And I think this level of disdain, the anger coming from the fans and the players openly criticizing him and the coaches, I don't recall any point in time this level of openness that I'm hearing from the players, you know, not necessarily naming Eberflus or, you know, the coaches like Shane Waldron, who's since been, dispatched. And part of the reason I think we are so down on Eberflus, and this is kind of like drawing from our personal experiences, that we know people like that in real life, a boss, a colleague who talks down on people. Listening to him talk is so condescending and, just makes my head hurt every time, because he keeps doubling down on his mistakes and he talks and acts like he is like the smartest man in the world. And I think a lot of people are kind of like, you know, I don't want to be that guy, but rooting for his downfall and don't feel really sorry for people like Eberflus in real life. So I do believe that the players deserve a much better coach. I think it's quite clear that the players want to be coached by a more competent head coaches and coaching staff. So I just hope that the next 5 weeks, whatever that is left, they can salvage with a better, you know, interim coach, and then we can evaluate everything at the end of the season and hire a much better staff than, you know, and the onus is on, you know, Ryan Poles and, you know, Kevin Warren at this point. Thank you, guys.
Steve, appreciate the call. And again, to this point, I'm going to keep on saying this throughout the morning, Hub, until something, if something changes, Matt Eberflus is still the head coach of the Chicago Bears. I agree with something Steve said there in that call, which is the coaches, or excuse me, the players on this team deserve to be coached better. The players on this team, and you're right, Hub, in that they haven't always done everything that they can do, and especially the veterans. I think you and I are on the same page that Caleb makes mistakes. You expect that from a rookie quarterback, no matter what the college resume or what the expectations or the generational tag that you put on him. Veterans, when they don't do things that they could be doing to win football games, they deserve some of the blame as well. But when the soundbite that we played of Keenan Allen earlier, saying that he feels like the common theme in these close losses is that the players have done enough to win. Not always, but they've done enough to be in these positions to win these games. And it has, we find ourselves coming on these airwaves, talking into these microphones about decisions that the head coach made at the end of these games that had he made a different decision, we could be talking about a different outcome. Yes, everything that led up to that also matters, including some of these veteran players not playing as well as they could. But I do think that when in those situations, Caleb Williams deserves better. DJ Moore deserves better. Keenan Allen deserves better than to be coached by the guy who made those decisions, including the decision to not do anything yesterday as 30 seconds ran off the clock. That's just I feel like if I'm standing on that sideline or I'm on that field, I'm like, is our head coach even an NFL head coach at this point? I'm asking myself that question, to stand there and watch all that time run off and just do nothing with that look on his face. I think they deserve a better coach than what they have right now.
Well, you know, Rami, I think that's fair. You're absolutely right. And, you know, I've been sitting here thinking the last 15, 20 minutes as I look at all the texts and I hear all the calls and I talk with you and everybody around. I may be the only person in this conversation for these 4 hours who's actually met Matt Eberflus, okay? And I can tell you, he is not the person that he is being described as a coach or as a person. But that doesn't matter, because what we've established, I think what we've established, is I don't think anybody disagrees at this point. The Bears need a new head coach. Nobody is suggesting, no, keep him. He's going to get it turned around. He's the guy. I think we've now accepted the Bears need to make a change. The question at the moment is, what's best for the team, to make the change now or to make the change in 5 weeks or in 3 weeks or whatever it may be? And if you're going to make a change now, don't make things worse. Do you have anybody on your staff right now
that's
who can
the
be
question.
The interim head coach? This is what's being figured out right now. I don't think anybody's debating at this point that the Bears need to make a change. And I feel horrible for Matt, because I think he has been unfairly treated in certain ways until a few weeks ago, because it's really gotten ugly the last few weeks. But at the end of the day, he's also done enough to prove that he's not going to be the answer for the Chicago Bears.
I have no personal issue with Matthew. I think he seems like a very nice
man. Well, but obviously a lot of our callers do. And that I get frustrated with, because that's not being a good fan. It's just to go after somebody because you're mad at him.
He seems like I'm not satisfied with some of the answers I get in press conferences either, but I don't even take that personally. Because like you said, Hub, a lot of this is just saying what you can say and not saying what you can't say. And sometimes that's going to come off in a way that people aren't satisfied with the answers that they're getting. But I don't take that in a person. I don't take that as him being arrogant or anything like that. I'd like to see a little more accountability. I'd like to see a little more, I screwed up. I did something wrong, or even saying we did something wrong and taking the blame collectively. But to go up there after what I saw yesterday and go, I liked what we did. I thought we handled it right. Like, that doesn't sit well with me.
No, now you did notice, though, that last night he did take all the blame.
Yes, but he also said that he had no problem with the way that that game ended or the decision that they made.
I'm not arguing that, but I'm just making the point. He did take all the blame, and I'm just answering what you just said about not taking, because for a while, again, it is so hard. The job, and it should be for a couple million a year or whatever he's making, it should be that hard. But the bottom line, everything he says has to be monitored in how the players are going to react, how the fans are going to react, how the front office is going to react. And it's not the easiest thing to come up with the right things to say when you're playing as badly as they are right now.
Let's get in one more call before the break, and Clay Harbor joining us. Oh, my bad. I guess we got to get to the break, because Clay Harbor will be joining us tonight. And your NFL veteran and CHSN NFL analyst will join us right after this. If you're on hold, hang right there at 312-644-6767. If you dropped us a line in the text box, we'll read some of those as well. After the Bears fall to the Lions 23-20 in heartbreaking and mind-numbing fashion, we'll talk with Clay Harbor about it right after this.
Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event is happening now. Get some of the best deals of the season with up to 50% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings delivers big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. Skip the long lines or waiting around at home all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Get your whole home installed for one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event today for some of the best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide, plus premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting college football bowl games, good luck. No, seriously, it's never been harder. And you don't want to be hurting your bankroll. You want to make sure you're doing your homework. Listen to Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I will be breaking down every single bowl game, dropping new episodes nearly every day throughout college football's postseason. Spicing things up with a 12-team playoff. Can't wait to see some of those teams from the South come up north for the snow. Be sure to subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Clock is running for 15 seconds, and it's 3rd and 26. They have one timeout left.
This is like the light box. You could have gotten numbers, but just didn't.
You better hurry.
Oh, no.
Oh, this is disaster in the making here. You're going to have to do something when it comes down to this play. Incomplete, and the game is over. Completely botched at the end by the Bears.
I can't believe they didn't take a timeout. Just assumed they would have taken.
They're looking around like, what just happened?
They had a timeout left.
The clock has struck zero, and it is over.
We're back with more Rami Makhlouf and Hub Arkish on 670 The Score.
As courtesy of CBS, Tony Romo in total disbelief as Matt Eberflus gets on the bus with a timeout in one pocket and an L in the other. I am Rami Makhlouf along with Hub Arkish. You're listening to a Plumbers 911 Football Monday on a Friday presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and Busey Bank. We will get back to your calls, your text at 312-644-6767 in just a few moments. But joining us now on the hotline, you know this gentleman from these airwaves, from CHSN, 9-year NFL veteran and NFL analyst Clay Harbor. Clay, how are you this morning, my friend?
No, it was good, but that game last night really worsened things for me. But, a lot to talk about at least this week with the Bears, with this disaster of an ending.
You know, Clay, I've not disagreed. I think a lot of us have not disagreed with decisions that Matt Eberflus has made at the end of games in recent weeks, but I can at least go, well, he was thinking this. Like, I disagree with it, but he was thinking this. Just trying to look at it from the other side. I can't come up, and Hub laughed at me for asking this already a couple times this morning where there's no answer to it. Can you come up with any reason why you stand there on the sidelines and watch 32 seconds tick away and at least a chance at an overtime slip through your fingers?
Well, I know what he was thinking, right? And in a perfect world, I mean, it might work, but for him to sit there and just see the situation and not have any situational awareness is the part that gets me. Okay, what he wants to do, you get sacked, right? So he's thinking it didn't look like a play where there's the guys were downfield too much. They got to see the all 22. It didn't look like it was a vertical passing game. So you think that your team can maybe get set up in a hurry up situation, get back the line, maybe snap it in 10 seconds. So 32, you snap it somewhere around 20. He wants to use the middle of the field, use the whole field, and then be able to keep his time out to bring on the field goal team. And yeah, that should have worked. I mean, the team didn't run that well. They didn't get set fast enough. Caleb's got to be better there. But when you see the discombobulation after the sack, I mean, my brother, who's a high school principal and a superintendent, is just yelling at the TV, call the timeout. My dad, call the timeout. These guys aren't NFL head coaches, right? And after you see the confusion, the clock's ticking, once you get down and it's like 24 or 22, you still have time. Call the timeout. You can throw, you can complete a pass in the middle of the field if you want and still have time to run the field goal team on at that point around 20 seconds, even a little bit below, and then you obviously can use the sidelines. So he wanted, I understand what he wanted to do, but as soon as you see things going awry, you got to call the timeout. And the fact that he's just sitting there emotionless on the sidelines like he doesn't know what happens obviously makes it all that much worse that we have to see that. And then just to get one shot that's not even in the end zone is pretty inexcusable. So I know what he was thinking, but the execution and the situational awareness when something goes awry was awful.
You know, Clay, I think we've all agreed at this point that there is no real explanation for those last 32 seconds. But I'm curious, at the end of the day, I know you've been doing this for a while, have you ever seen so many great NFL players or coaches, and I'm talking about the post-game commentators on the various networks, be so openly critical and of a head coach, of another head coach? I've never heard that before, but they were really going after Flus, and that to me was kind of the last straw as far as where the Bears are at with what they have to do next.
Yeah, and these are big name guys. Obviously, I know you're alluding to the Jimmy Johnson, and there are several guys talking about it, but in those situations when your team plays that hard, you have a comeback right there, and for the game to end like that, a coach is supposed to help you. You know, he's supposed to put you in the best situation to give you an opportunity to win. That's the reason you have coaches. Otherwise, it would just be players out there. And for him to do that is pretty telling. And that's why he's 5-19 in one-score games since he's been in Chicago. He's 2-15 in the NFC North in his tenure. I mean, those are inexcusable numbers. You know, and to see the way Caleb fought and came back down the stretch, you know, kind of left a bad taste, I think, in everybody's mouth that was watching the game, because they saw that second half was just one of those gritty second half comebacks that you want to see from a player. Could be a signature win. Wow, they're getting down there, they're close. And for it to end like that without even a chance, I think that's what really got everybody so fired up. And I understand, if I was these players, I'd be pretty upset too.
Talking with Clay Harbor on the Score Hotline presented by Circus Sports Illinois. And I think everybody is on the same page here, Clay, that Matt Eberflus can't continue on as the Bears head coach, whether it's at the end of the year, or I think what a lot of people would prefer is like right now, like the news breaks right now while Hub and I are talking to you, that the Bears have decided to relieve Matt Eberflus of his coaching duties. But and the question that goes through my mind, and the one that Hub keeps going back to this morning, is, okay, you don't want Matt Eberflus to be your head coach, and hopefully they hire somebody better in the offseason, but for these last 5 weeks, 6 weeks, whatever it is, who do you go to? Who do you hand the reins over to? Is there anybody on this Bears coaching staff that you feel comfortable in handing this thing over to and feel like, well, no, they're not going to make the playoffs or salvage this thing in any way, but it'll be better in terms of the progression of Caleb Williams and this team moving forward?
So I'm not sure you do it because you'd be better. The one thing I think it would show is accountability, and that's something that the organization and head coaches lacked all year. And just to show the players and everybody in the organization that we hold people accountable, and starting from the top as a general manager, as the president, Kevin Warren and Ryan Pohl should come together and fire Matt Eberflus. Send a message, the opposite message that your head coach has been sending all year in every post-game interview. It's never his fault. He never did anything wrong. He would do things the same. He had the nerve to say, I liked what we did there yesterday. We just got to execute it better. Okay, Matt, like, we understand what you were thinking. Some of us understand what you're thinking. So, I mean, it's still hard to try to figure out, but you got to have situational awareness. This is a fluid thing. When you're discombobulated, burn the timeout. You have to have some accountability organizationally. So I think that's what it would do. And what I would do, and there's two ways you go about this thing. The first one is what I like better, is you give Thomas Brown the reins as head coach, and you see how he can handle being a head coach and an offensive coordinator. Because some people think, you know, as much as he's helped Caleb these last couple of games, and we've seen Caleb has played a lot better in the last three games since he's taken over as the offensive coordinator. But let's see how he handles it. Like Kevin O'Connell, like Kyle Shanahan, like some of these guys that Sean McVay that are head coaches and offensive coordinators. That's tough. Now you got to worry about the whole team. Can he still call these plays? Can he still get ahead of everything? Obviously, Eric Washington still will have the defense then, because Eberflus calls the defense. And let's see how he does. Give him a little bit of a tryout, so to speak, and see how he can handle the whole team, if that's something that you're going to consider. And the other thing you can do is maybe move Eric Washington in there as a head coach, so you keep Thomas Brown still focused on Caleb Williams and just improving him, and just let this keep going here. We've seen a couple good games, some good comebacks from Caleb, and keep that going. Personally, I say let's see how Thomas Brown handles the full team, if he can still be a very good offensive coordinator like he's shown he's doing. He's improved the Bears since he's taken over, a lot better than Shane Waldron, and go that route. So that's what I would do. Give him the opportunity. You get a little bit of a jump to see one of your, maybe your candidates, a guy the players respond to before the season even ends.
You know, I guess the big question, obviously, isn't really the interim head coach so much as who's going to be the next head coach. And you look at the way the Bears have hired coaches in the past, and it has always been I think it may have always been a first-time head coach. I can't remember the last time they hired a head coach who had already been a head coach, but that's not important right now. But at the end of the day, you know, at this point in the season, you know, what does it mean to Caleb Williams? Because that's really the only thing that you have, yes, to focus on right now, is do you have your franchise quarterback? And what you have been seeing the last 3 weeks is significant appearances that you just may, and you don't want to do something that is going to make things harder or worse on him for the next 5 weeks.
Yeah, that's the most important thing. So if you fire Eberflus, and then Thomas Brown is the head coach, now maybe you're putting more of an emphasis on the entire team, so to speak, then Caleb Williams, when some people are like, you know, keep Eberflus in place just so you can have Thomas Brown focus on keeping to grow Caleb, because we've seen improvement these last few games. Let's keep that the main thing, get through this year, and then in the offseason give Caleb some time off, and then you go and find your coach. You find a guy. Obviously, we've heard Ben Johnson, Thomas Brown, Joe Brady,
some people, Vrabel, Belichick. I mean, there's a lot of names out there. Cliff Kingsbury, I think he's tailed off a little bit. But a lot of names out there and all offensive guys. And I would think that, you know, at this point after, you know, Eberflus going defense there, that an offensive guy would be good. But I think more so is what you do at coordinator. And I think there is a world at which Matt Eberflus gets fired and Thomas Brown stays on as the Bears offensive coordinator. That's not unprecedented. If a coach comes in and says, hey, this guy has a connection with Caleb Williams, let me have a conversation with Thomas Brown and see if he wants to be the full-time offensive coordinator this year. Of course, obviously, if he hasn't got any head coaching prospects, he interviewed last year for the Titans head coaching position and was the assistant head coach in L.A. for the Rams when they won the Super Bowl. But I think that's happened before. I think Vic Fangio back with the Bears, if you guys remember, was on two staffs as the staff got fired. They kept Vic Fangio as the defensive coordinator for a year. So that's something I think could happen, but you're absolutely right. The development of Caleb Williams and getting him to be a prime time and more consistent quarterback. Obviously we've seen all these flashes and he had some ups and downs yesterday. The most important thing I saw was the way he finished in the crunch time situations, and that's exactly what you want from your quarterback.
That's Clay Harbor, 9-year NFL veteran. Catch him on CHSN. Follow him on Twitter. One of the best football follows on Twitter. If you want tape, if you want stats, he's at ClayHarbs82. Clay, really appreciate the time, my man.
Thanks, fellas. Have a good one.
And take he joins care, us on the Score Hotline presented by Circus Sports Illinois. Get back to your calls at 312-644-6767. Your text as well. And did I mention Clay joined us on the Score Hotline presented by Circus Sports Illinois? And Hub, I do want to clarify one thing. To our knowledge, Matt Eberflus still employed by the Chicago Bears. And we talked earlier in the show about the fact that we haven't received any correspondence as to when or if Matt Eberflus would be made available to the media today. And that is usually, as you said, something that would be sent out by now or shortly after a game. They did earlier in the week in their communications to the media say that there would be a Friday morning 9 a.m. Zoom press conference after the game. But that's just not been confirmed since the game ended. But they also haven't notified anyone that anything has changed. So I don't know if that means that we can expect the 9 a.m. Zoom or that we should not expect the 9 a.m. Zoom.
What I always get the night before is a text from the Bears giving me the details on how to connect to the Zoom. And I haven't gotten
that. You haven't gotten that.
So that is not confirmed at this point.
Okay.
You know, now, you know, maybe it's just because I'm so terrible on social media that I don't need to be told how to connect to it. But I do know that I've gotten that text, that email every week, and we haven't gotten it yet this
okay,
week.
So you haven't gotten that yet nope. this week, but they did send out the schedule earlier mm-hmm. this yes. week saying that there would be a Friday morning mm-hmm. 9 a.m. Zoom. If anything happens, if anything breaks, you know the place to get it would be right here on the Score and with Hub Arkish, who's sitting in the co-host chair along with me, Rami Makhlouf, with you on a Friday morning after the Bears fall to the Lions in mind-numbing, heartbreaking fashion, 23-20, the final. And we're going to get right back to your calls at 312-644-6767 right after this on Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
He just said we got to stick together there. We'll kind of evaluate, and I'm sure stuff like the end of the game will be addressed when we get back in the building.
Does a message like that ring hollow after it's happened so many times?
Just what's
like,
that?
Like a message like what Flew said to you guys after the game, like stick together, all this stuff.
You only want to hear it so much. Coach, he's got to say. I think at the end of the day, like, you know, we all realize we want the results, and we just haven't had the results, and that falls upon everybody. So it definitely hurts, and you know, as much as I love the guys in the locker room and sticking together, you know, we want to win games. And we're just not doing that right now.
We're back with more Rami Makhlouf and Hub Arkish on 670 The Score.
That was Cole Kmet, Bears tight end, after the 23-20 loss. Another weird loss. The Bears find another way to lose a game. I am Rami Makhlouf along with Hub Arkish with you on a Black Friday morning. And we want to hear from you at 312 312- 644, 67, 67. And yeah, Hub, that stuff tends to ring hollow. Like, and not to say that they don't believe in Flus, they're not listening to him, but everybody, coaches, fans, players, everybody, like, we need results. Like, the talking is it rings hollow at some point of sticking together, and we fought and we competed. You want results. You want wins at the end of the day.
Yeah, it's interesting that was Cole Kmet, because, you know, he's one of my favorite Bears. He had two costly pass interference calls,
yep.
One of which was one of the worst calls I've ever seen. The other one shouldn't have been called, and now he's doing his post-game presser. And I understand fans want to win. I understand fans want to know what they want to know. I understand that they want everybody to go to the Pro Bowl. But at the end of the day, there is only so much these players can say about their coaches, or these coaches can say about their players in public, and the way it's going to be, because everybody's going to interpret it whatever they want. Next thing, things are going to be reported that weren't even what they said, you know, and so that's what makes this so tricky. You know, I want to go back to the same place, Ron. I mean, at the end of the day, I think we've established the Bears need to make a change at head coach. The question is when and how, so it will make the team better. Don't make the same mistake again and just rush to do something because fans are upset. That's not the way to run a team.
Let's go out to the phones and go out to Mattson and Kevin. You're on 670 The Score. What's up, Kev? Kevin?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, loud and clear. What's up, Kev?
Okay, yeah. What I'm thinking is that, you know, none of these losses were unexpected by me except for the Patriots loss. And now I have been impressed by the fact that they were able to come back, hold their own against Detroit, because I also expected that to be a double-digit loss. So that's something promising, seemingly, for next year. I am hoping that they don't have the quarterback run too often, because, you know, it looks like he can get kind of cut up and hit there. And that's going to be trouble. I mean, that could be serious trouble for this year and for the future just in general. So I hope they ease back on the running of the quarterback. And for the offense, get some stud offensive linemen for next year. That's the best I can say. Anything else is just, you know, trying to patch a wound.
Appreciate the call, Kevin. I do. A Caleb Williams injury is one of my greatest fears of this season, Hub, because that is like the last and only thing that is important left in this season, is that guy stays healthy and his development keeps moving in the right direction. And I don't know how you feel about that hit on the sideline yesterday where he got clipped in the knee. I know it wasn't a penalty because he was still in bounds. Mm-hmm. Hitting the quarterback in the legs when they're out of the pocket is not against the rules, because they are then just a runner with the football. I still think it was a dirty play, though. He didn't have to go at the legs. He didn't really have to do anything. Caleb Williams was running out of bounds. But if you want to give him a little shove or a little nudge towards the sidelines, fine. You don't have to dive at the guy's knee the way that I don't remember the Lions defender who did it. But that was a dirty play in my eyes. And that type of stuff, A, really pisses me off, but B, terrifies me that somehow this season is going to affect next season if Caleb Williams does suffer an injury on a play like that.
Yeah, I mean, I on that play, I totally agree with you. I expected a flag, but when I looked at the play again, it wasn't a penalty. I mean, by the, you know, exact interpretation of the rule. The officiating, I think, has been worse than ever.
Terrible.
This year. And I'm talking about all year long, not every game, not every official, but there have definitely been a lot more mistakes. I thought the Bears were not treated fairly by the officials in Detroit. That's not why they lost. They lost because their coach screwed up at the end of the game, you know. But at the end of the day, the officiating has really been bad, you know. But as far as the initial call, they're not running a lot of planned running plays for Caleb Williams. They're not calling too much running. They're trying to protect him. But once he has to get out of the pocket, he's got to run. There's nothing else he can do. But I think when you look at what Brown is calling, he's not using him more than he should as a runner.
And one of Caleb's great abilities is when things break down, is to escape and make something with it, whether it's with his arms or with his legs. We've seen him extend drives with some of those scrambles when the play breaks down and he has to get out of the pocket.
That's where the Patrick Mahomes comparisons keep coming from, because neither one of them are great running quarterbacks, but they improvise so well and they make plays when they're improvising so well. Is that is what has made Mahomes and hopefully will make Williams a franchise quarterback.
So it's that double-edged sword of, I like that he can do that and he's going to need to do that to be an NFL quarterback and be that quarterback Bears fans hope he can be, but at the same time, I'm sitting on the edge of my seat and hoping that things don't end terribly. Let's quickly squeeze in Roger from Milwaukee. Roger, you're on 670 The Score. I got about a minute before I have to hit the break. Roger, go right ahead.
Okay, Rami, nice day here. You're a big fan.
Appreciate you.
Listen, intently interested in the Bears, even though I'm a Packer fan. And my reaction is quite simply this. It's only time management. What are you guys freaking out about? With that in mind, how do you guys think if you get a new coach in and, solve this problem, how do you see the future next year? I'm optimistic for you guys, and I want to bring back the rivalry. I will finish the business this Thursday for your guys, by the way.
Roger, I appreciate the call. I want to be positive about the future, Hub. You and I have talked about this. Whoever the Bears hire, I have doubts about them simply on the basis that the Bears hired them.
Yeah, I'll keep it simple. It's a little hard to be positive about the future when you're not sure what the head coach is going to be.
Yeah, it is. That's Hub Arkish. I'm Rami Makhlouf. It is a Plumbers 911 Football Monday on a Friday, presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and Busey Bank. We'll talk with Brian Baldinger at 8:20. Matt Eberflus is still the Bears head coach. He'll join us at 9 o'clock. Matt Eberflus is still the Bears head coach. We'll let you know if that changes at any point right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.